I've written on the board good tidings. Have you ever had good tidings before? I remember when I was young, and I had this bad habit. Went through a little spell there where I'd get in trouble every day. And one day came, and I didn't get in trouble. And good news came my way that we were going to celebrate by going and eating ice cream. Well, for that time of my life, that was good news. That was double good news. Not only did I not get in trouble, but I also was able to get some ice cream too. But you know, as we go farther along in life, sometimes the good news becomes of more significant than just getting to go eat ice cream. I remember when I got a little bit older, maybe in my early 20s, I found something out that was going to change my life a little bit for a period of time anyway, and I was so excited about it, and I wanted to tell somebody. And so I called my dad, wanted to tell my mom and dad the good news, good tidings that I had received that day. Couldn't wait to share the news. You know, there's other good news that people get. Sometimes you find out that you're not sick anymore. Maybe something that was wrong in your body, you find out it's gone, and everything's okay, and you get good news. Sometimes people call and say, you know, that responsibility that you have to do, don't worry about it, I've got it. Good news, good tidings. Sometimes I hear an ad for something called a debt forgiveness program. You ever heard about that? Debt forgiveness program. I've never looked into it. Don't know exactly all what that entails. But I know of a debt forgiveness plan that I do know about that's affected me, that brought really good news to me in my life. And it made a complete difference in my life because it was a debt that I couldn't pay. And along with that debt forgiveness plan also came healing and purpose and a sense of belonging and a hope. And it was something that I couldn't go and earn on my own. Not able to go to a box store and purchase it off the shelf. It was good news. Good tidings. Earlier this week on the board back here, somebody had written, maybe they wrote it last Sunday, I'm not sure. But it said, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men." Divinely inspired words. Well, what was it that preceded that praise and worship that the angels brought that day? Let's read it. Second chapter of Luke, we'll start in verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." That'd get our attention if we were in their shoes, wouldn't we? "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring" who? "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to just a few people." Is that what it says? No. "Which shall be to all people." Good tidings to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, peace, goodwill toward men." Fear not. Who fear not? You fear not. Fear not. Not just to the shepherds. Not just to those at that time that were under Roman rule and those that were depressed and oppressed. But fear not, which was a message unto all. It applies to every single person. He said, I bring to you good tidings. I bring to you wonderful news of great joy, which shall be to all people, no one left out. Good news to every single person, not just at that time, but I'm a person, I'm a people. I belong in that definition when they said it shall be to all people. That's me, that's you. And the angels that day were joyful, and they came in most dramatic fashion, and to our eyes, for what we see today, heavenly fashion, because they had a special message that they wanted to proclaim in the most wonderful way. And it extended to every single person. Yes, you and me included. Nobody left out. Why? What was the good news all about? Why was there to be such rejoicing? Because it said, "For unto you is born a Savior." A Savior. Let's be awake to this morning, because I don't want the message to get old. Unto you was born a Savior. Sometimes we say, well, unto the world was born a Savior. It was. Unto the world was born a Savior. And we can think about the world. Out there was born a Savior. To everyone else. I mean, I'm here and I'm looking out, and I, at the moment, there's not a mirror in front of me, and I see you. And the enemy likes to come and tell us, unto the world. Everyone else. Has the enemy ever told you that? But no. It was unto you, insert your name, unto Brother Bobby a Savior was born, unto Sister Janet a Savior was born, unto Brother Larry a Savior was born for you. We could go all through the chapel today, insert your name, unto you was born. This personal message, a deliverer, one that came to replace darkness with light and lift us up out of the pits that this world, it just seems like the world's so good at digging pits in front of us, and we find ourselves in darkness, in uncertainty, in the absence of peace, and sin abounds, and it seems like people are being destroyed on every hand, and yet the message was that a Savior, good news, yes, there's sin, yes, there's pits, yes, there's uncertainty, yes, there's those things that steal peace, but there's good news for you, because unto you a Savior was born, a Savior that was come to lift you up out of those uncertain places. Lift you up out of the darkness. Lift you up from the sin that binds. Lift you up and put a new song in your heart. Praise unto the Lord. That we could get a hold of this story, and that it wouldn't become old to us, and that it would be personal in nature. It was mentioned the other night. We could probably go around this morning, and most of us in here could almost recite with great accuracy the words of this story. We've heard this story so many times, but if we're not careful, and this is a key element of what I was inspired, I believe, by the Lord to deliver this morning, if we're not careful, we can be drawn into the stands of the downhearted and those that feel like they're left out, drawn into the stands of the lost, perhaps the wistful. Oh, I thought it might be for me. Oh, there was a time where I thought maybe the light, maybe the Savior, maybe what He had was actually for me, but now I don't know. If we are not careful, this message can lose what the Lord wanted it to be for us personally. We get withdrawn into the stands of the observers rather than joining the life of those that have received resurrected light in their lives. Sometimes we can feel like that we are outside of the fence. Sometimes we can feel like that somehow it isn't for us completely, totally. And we withdraw into places and believe that the life that we have in front of us is going to be filled with the absence of joy and the fullness of salvation and light. And sometimes we can be overtaken by our failures, be so disappointed in ourselves, the places where we've stumbled, that we take ourselves out of the salvation plan of God. He doesn't. We take ourselves out. And we go outside the fence and feel like that is our lot in life. And this morning I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, He goes outside the fence and He searches for those that feel like they've been left out, or maybe they're not worthy. None of us are worthy. There's not a one of us that's worthy. Except for the grace of God and His shed blood, every single one of us would be observers of something we're not able to partake of. But because of Jesus, we too can have a testimony that is sure, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus Christ goes and He searches the dark hills. Jesus Christ goes and He looks in the hidden places. And He looks in the crevices, in the cracks, in the gullies, in the deep places, in the hot places, in the lonely places, and He searches for those that feel overtaken by their own failures, that feel like that the mountains that they have in front of them stand between them and the promise of the Savior. And Jesus goes out looking for you and for me. Because don't we all feel those things at some times of our life? Don't we get to the place where we too feel a great heaviness of such unworthiness? And we look over our past and we see the sin that was in our lives, perhaps the sin that is in our lives, and our failures and our unrighteousness. Sometimes the situations that life has brought to us, having nothing to do with our own actions. And we can become bitter about those things and hurt and feel like there's no hope. The good news this morning is that Jesus came to search out those that feel despair and hopelessness and feel like they are outside of what the Savior came to bring. Jesus Christ came to invite us to His table, that He might speak peace to our hearts, that we might find new hope, and no one is left out. The words of Jesus Christ when He stood up in the temple in the 4th chapter of Luke, and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." Do you ever feel poor in some areas of your life? I do. Do you ever have to come face to face with areas in your life where your bank account is, there's nothing in it. It's empty. And you feel like that you have responsibility to give and that there should be something there. But you look and there's nothing there in your life and you're poor. And you're without. Oh, these other areas, perhaps we put a smile on our face and maybe we have something to give from other rooms in our house and in our life. But that room, that place, it never goes away. It's always there, that door, that room, that it seems like light never shines. When you flip the switch, it's always a dark place. You're poor in that area. And Jesus Christ Himself said that the Spirit was upon Him to preach the gospel to those people, to the poor, to those without. Jesus didn't come to just hang out with the righteous. The Scripture says that He wasn't sent for the righteous, but He was sent for the unrighteous. He wasn't sent for the rich. He was sent to bring good tidings to the poor. And you know what? That's all of us. We need Jesus Christ. Said that He was sent to the poor, but it wasn't just to the poor. It said that He came to heal the brokenhearted. It wasn't just talking about being brokenhearted because you were given broccoli ice cream instead of chocolate ice cream. That would be a disappointment. But life brings some heavy things. Life brings unexpected heartache. You You live long enough, you face things that bring tears from deep within and hurt that you didn't know could take place. Hurt that actually hurts physically. Brokenness. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. He doesn't always change our circumstances in life, but he came to change our perspective. And he came to bring healing. And he came to offer us peace in the midst of the storm. Deliverance to the captives. Yes, we find ourselves in captivity to sin and feel like we don't know our way out. Oftentimes, we are held most captive by ourselves. And we look in the mirror each morning, and oftentimes we find ourselves in places where we feel like we are handcuffed and held captive to those things that we don't know how to change, that are part of ourselves and we can't. And it steals our peace and our joy and leaves us with darkness and uncertainty ahead. And Jesus Christ said he came to deliver those that were in captivity. And it said also that he came to bring sight to the blind. Did you know that the enemy is in the business of trying to convince you that you have very little worth? You have no real place in life. You have no real value. You weren't given the talents that everyone else was given. You're just a failure. Look at all of the things you haven't done right. Look at what you're not able to do. We begin to take that on as our identity. And our vision becomes clouded. The Lord came to bring sight to the blind. To show us that if we would give him our all, that he could take the little bit of loaves and fishes that we have to give, that may not be much, and that if we are willing to trust him and to give to him, that he is able to multiply it exponentially and feed the multitudes and affect his great plan of reaching others that are hurting through your life. And we say, I can't do anything. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to relate. Who am I to offer good tidings when you look at my own life? And the Lord says, let me give you a vision. If you'll follow me, if you will allow my grace to be applied to your life and my forgiveness and allow my spirit to have room in your life, it can come out and you have a special place in my body that only you can fill. The Lord would like to open your eyes today and bring sight to you, or you may be blind, spiritual eyesight that changes our perspective, that causes the clouds to begin to part, to be able to start to see light that is shining in our pathway that was given to us to follow, not everyone else, but that Jesus Christ came to shine a light in my pathway to help lead me home and to help take some others in the process. Liberty to them that are bruised. Bruises that sometimes just feel like won't go away. You ever felt that? You ever got a really bad bruise? It's tender to the touch, isn't it? Maybe it's not bleeding outwardly, but you get some good bruises, and when it gets touched, it's tender. And there are some places in life where we can be bruised deeply. And when it gets touched, it's tender. And it begins to hinder our ability to live life normally. And we begin to protect those bruised places. And the rest of our lives, we begin to try to use the strengths of the other areas of our body to protect the bruised places, and it keeps us from using our lives to go out and affect the work of the Lord that He would have for us, to begin to turn our mind to the things that would bring us joy and peace and gladness. And Jesus knows that. And He knows where your bruised places are today. He knows the places in your life that are tender to the touch. And He came to bring healing and liberty to them that are bruised. And He invites us this morning to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. For our help indeed cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He wants us to open our eyes and our ears to the call of His voice, because He calls you. Yet we find in the Scriptures where Jesus said that He did not many miracles because of their unbelief. Let's not be in the number of those that don't believe. We don't have to be in that number. Oh, this morning, if we will apply ourselves to get to know Jesus better than we do today, you will find that your faith begins to increase, and the Lord is able to do more in your life than what He is able to do today if you will be willing to draw closer. Don't be of those that don't believe. The Lord has called you. He has brought a Savior for you. He has glad tidings for you. We have not reached the limit of closeness to the Lord today. Folks, sometimes I fear that Christians, people that they do believe in the Lord to a point, we do want to live for God. We don't want to be found in His disfavor. We do want to be found in peace. We don't want to sin. We want to live right. That there are many, many Christians who, yes, believe into the Lord, but are in a place where they feel like they've experienced, I've experienced all there is to experience, and there's still some bruises. There's still some captivity. There's still some places where I'm poor and it's limiting me. And this is it for me. Maybe there's more for others, but this is it for me. No. Jesus Christ came that we might continue to possess more land. The Lord has more land for you to possess. He calls us closer. Come closer, my child, to me. Oh, let's be willing today to come a little closer. Oh, let's be willing to let go in those places where we say, oh, it doesn't make that big of a difference. Oh, it's not that big of a thing. The Lord maybe has been whispering to our hearts, give me that. I have something for you. And we look at it and we don't want to let go of it. We say, oh, it's not big of a deal. And we don't yield. And it may be that it's that very thing. That thing that we tell ourselves is of no consequence. That if we would turn the dial to that last piece on that combination, we've got everything else in place. The Lord is saying, just turn it a little bit for me, that it will unlock those places that we are bound. Don't give up. Don't stop pressing. Give yourself to Jesus in full measure. I want to read before we close in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and the 19th verse. It said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Yes, a new thing. Not something that you've ever experienced before. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." It will be a new thing. It will spring forth, not because you and your own strength was able to get all of the circumstances of life, get your life in order in all these places, and in your own strength, do everything just right so that it will spring forth. No, spring forth because it comes from divine power that Jesus Christ gives us as a gift. Water in dry land, food in desert places, love and peace and purpose in those barren places that we find ourselves in life. Yes, for the Christian too. We're not preaching on a street corner of people that have never heard about Jesus this morning. Jesus today wants you to know, as Christians, that He has something yet in store for you. Good tidings. "Fear not, for unto you a Savior is born." For unto you a personal message of the gospel is preached in Laranger, Louisiana. The Lord wants us as individuals to hear the message of hope that He has for us. So yes, indeed, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Jesus came to bring us peace and salvation, not by imposing upon us a price that we are unable to pay, but because of a gift that is offered to us because of the price that He was willing to pay. Let's not forget that. This morning, let's raise our hearts and our voices to a God that is worthy to be served. Let's believe into the Savior today. Let's go away with renewed hope, renewed expectation that the Lord is not limited. His purpose and His desire for you to have life has not diminished with the passing of time. He is not bound by things that He created. I believe someone said that last Wednesday. Today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He yet stands at our heart's door and knocks. And if any man, Christian, sinner alike, will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Let's go away this morning with courage and purpose. Maybe we can stand and sing a song of praise. Amen.